Welcome to Digital Marketing for Financial Planners, the podcast where you learn which digital marketing strategies are working best for advisors. We interview financial planners who share what is working or not for their practice. Here is your host, Jake Wagner.
Welcome. This is Digital Marketing for Financial Planners. On today's show, we have Amy Hubble of Radix Financial. Amy, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Thanks. Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Glad to have you on here. So, Amy, the first question that I have for you is, could you just tell us a little bit about your firm? What kind of firm do you run?
Sure, absolutely. I actually started my own firm in January of 2015. So I've been doing it about a little over a year and a half. It is a registered investment advisor, RIA, fee only. Pretty simple. We're headquartered in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. But we have clients really all over, specialize in portfolio management, and then do obviously a lot of financial consulting for people.
Cool. What type of clients are you trying to attract? And how many folks are local versus abroad?
Well, most of them are local, but I mean, in my kind of travels, I come across people, or people move somewhere and they come back, or their parents are located somewhere else. But I mean, that's the really cool thing about owning your own firm and working for yourself, is you kind of get to focus on working with the people that you want to, and the kind of people that you are building your own relationship with, right from the standpoint. And for me, that's really people that are going to be dedicated to the process long-term. Demographics right now are certainly leaning towards retiring baby boomers. So that's really an opportunity you can't ignore, money coming out of retirement plans. And then especially the great wealth transfer down to the next generation. But then also, I mean, just people that I know that are my age starting to get started, especially dual incomers, just need to know what to do with that cash that they've been just kind of stocking away.
So is there a certain demographic that you're trying to go for, or is it really just, you know, the folks that are the right fit to work with you?
Yeah, that's for me. I don't try to focus too deeply on, well, I only work with 20s and 30s people, but it's really people that are dedicated to what, you know, I do, the long-term process, not looking to, you know, try to hit a home run on a stock in a week. People that are dedicated to financial well-being and just overall increasing their finances over time.
So can you tell me just a little bit more about your process and how you work with each of your clients?
Sure. I mean, it is mostly face-to-face, just because that's the way that I like to do it. Not against anybody that does it via video. And I've certainly communicated with clients that I've worked with for a long time over the phone and over computer. But for me, I just really like to be in front of people. I like to see how that body language, you know, goes. I like to be able to see them and shake their hand and touch them. And then they know that I'm a real person, personally. And then honestly, we don't meet that often after that. I mean, right at the beginning, we do meet quite a bit. We spend a lot of time on the front end, as most advisors do, really making sure that we kind of set things up. And then we probably see each other face to face one time a year.
And so one of the things you were telling me a bit about before we started this interview is about that you have some interesting combination of, you know, your strong emphasis on relationship and interpersonal skills, as well as you use some technology tools to help that process. Could you share a little bit about those tools?
Yeah, absolutely. And really, one of the whole reasons that I decided that I wanted to start my own business is people were always asking me, you know, how much money do I have to invest with you? And I worked for a trust company for a long, long time, which historically has very, very high entrance fees. And so, I mean, the chances of somebody that I know or a friend of mine that's 5 to 10 years out of college having, you know, $500,000 just sitting around in cash waiting for me to invest is not going to happen. And so you kind of shuffle your feet around and, you know, I can't do it, but I can kind of help you walk through a Vanguard account or Charles Schwab account or something like that. And, you know, that would happen sometimes, but really most of the time, nothing further would happen. And I just kind of have to leave it. With no other choice. So that's really when I started my own firm, I wanted to right off the bat find a way through technology that I would never have to give that excuse again, that I wouldn't be able to work with you because you didn't have enough money, even though you would be dedicated to saving and we're going to get there over time. Hmm. So yeah, looking lots of places, looked at a lot of robos, especially when you start your own firm, you feel like you're a technology expert because you've sat through every single webinar known to man. And, you know, we'll go to these conferences and you walk into the room and you're just like, oh, I know I need to talk to these people, but I don't want to. And yeah, so literally looking at them all, I had chosen TD Ameritrade to be my custodian. And so that was kind of my first hurdle is, okay, who works with TD Ameritrade? And had discovered a little company called Trizic, who has just kind of started. And they, I think, just now are just working with TD Ameritrade clients, but they really have been working with me really close to kind of help me develop that offering. So Trizic is a third party vendor, works with TD Ameritrade, and they've really been working very closely with me to kind of make that, you know, dream of never having to tell somebody that I have a minimum or that they don't have enough money, even though they're dedicated to saving and dedicated to the plan, for me not to be able to help them. And so they have tools to kind of help me with that opening process, which advisors out there know that can be the worst headache of your life. It works very well with the disclosure documents. Risk tolerance is all taken care of right there. And then it proposes, obviously, investment allocations that I set up, which is great. And then it does all the automatic rebalancing for me. And then as I just tweak the models, it will automatically propose the trades. And then I can go ahead and click whether or not I want to, execute the trades and all. But overall, it's going great. We're still kind of in the process of integrating that into its full uses, but I'm something I'm really, really excited about.
Do you like the suggestions that it gives you? Are you usually agreeing with the allocations? Are you correcting things? How much fine tuning do you have to do?
Really not very much. I mean, obviously I set up the allocations. There's, you know, six options that you're going to be able to come back and get to. And really the algorithm that's in there with the risk-based questionnaire that they presented, which I've gone through and done myself and, you know, question by question by question decided kind of how that goes, has been really close, but it also obviously gives me the opportunity to change that. If that were the case, and I honestly expect it to be the case more than it has actually occurred. And then I do talk to a lot of, especially women that are very, very conservative, but are very young and really just need to get to that education level and that comfort level with somebody to feel comfortable to take a little bit more risk in the market. But hasn't happened yet, but I would expect that it will.
Can you explain a little bit more about how this tool helps you work with someone's evolving financial literacy and how that affects their risk tolerance?
Yeah, so risk tolerance is kind of a nebulous thing. I mean, how people perceive risk and what risk even means to that. I mean, if you're looking for a financial definition of the standard deviation of volatility of asset returns over time, you know, that's kind of a hard thing to come across. But I mean, when you try to explain it of, okay, well, when do you need this money and how much volatility in that market value are you going to be willing to accept? And then at the same time, a lot of my smaller clients, when they're coming in, it's kind of an understood situation that they will be saving every month. I mean, that is just a basis of long-term planning, is that they're putting money into it. And so when you start to explain that you're also putting money into it, so even if the market does dip, you're able to buy lower, and that's going to be able to grow and just compound your returns over time and make that even better, which is, again, just kind of an educational process of getting people to finding a good middle ground of where they should be and where they're comfortable at, and then getting that comfort level to where they should be. Is certainly takes some people longer than others, and sometimes you don't really learn people's risk tolerance until something very bad happens. But most of the people I work with are pretty, they're in it for the long term, and that's what we preach as far as asset prices and how we're going to do it. And so it works really well. And then also use the TD Ameritrade commission-free ETFs. And so, you know, even if they're making contributions after every paycheck, those investments happen commission-free. There's no cost on that. And so it's been perfect.
This TRISIC system, okay. I wanna take it to a slightly different dimension and just ask you how this helps you work with folks who don't yet have assets available to manage and how that works with that category of folks. And then at the same time, how that helps you work with folks who you are managing their assets and doing the whole AUM thing.
Yeah, I mean, from their standpoint, they charge me 10 basis points per account. And so from my perspective, and obviously it's not going to hit it out of the park for me on a revenue basis. But really for me is it takes some of that extra work that is the paperwork and that is the risk tolerance going back and forth. And so really if you are committed to saving over time, there is no background to AUM. The opening process has been great, and I've not used it extensively, but we're still kind of fine tuning a few of the little issues. But you know, they run the gamut of making sure that all your paperwork is done and doing an audit trail, and for the risk tolerance questionnaire, and doing your even docu-signing with all the TD Ameritrade documents, your advisory agreement, and all those things. So, I mean, over time, that is really going to be a time saver for me. And even just the ability for people to go in and open their account online.
So how did you find TRISIC? How did these folks find you? What was the beginning of this relationship like?
I saw them for the first time at the TD Ameritrade conference last year. And you know, coming from a trust environment where, you know, none of the systems talks to each other and everything was built around this kind of master accounting software that, you know, trying to do financial planning and trying to do investments and trying to do real estate management and trying to do all these things, none of our softwares talk to each other. And so I just went to the TD Ameritrade conference in general and my mind was just blown of how hard I was working on things that just talk to each other naturally over time. So when you get to build it from scratch, you kind of make a couple lines in the sand with yourself, is that all my systems are going to be web-based and all of my systems are going to talk to each other. And so once I kind of set those lines, it kind of narrowed the numbers of software providers that I could do, and then software providers that I could afford. And then again, the ability for me to build my own models was really what put it over the ledge for TRISIC. But no, they've been great to work with. But it is a new offering, and it is like any software that you're changing over. It takes some time, and things aren't always going to work, I mean, exactly the way that you kind of think easy button when you see it demoed. And so just kind of getting through some of those hurdles and then me offering feedback to them and then them kind of being able to do some of that development has been really great, because they're kind of starting on this road at the same time as I was.
Told us a lot about the benefits and some of the, you know, how it's really increased and made efficiencies in your operations. What have been some of the challenges with working with this group?
Yeah, it's been a time thing. I mean, it was from a standpoint of really kind of seeing what they first had to offer last January, to being really up and running where I wanted to be, not really until about a year later. So that was a little bit of a challenge. Had explored a couple different options, but had ultimately come back to them just because of the unique ability to be able to do what I want to do through them. But yeah, software for me is a frustration all the time, because anytime that you're kind of changing what you're doing, or if one trade is not working perfectly in one day, then that I'm going to get upset. And so I'm probably harder to work with for them. But I've gotten better at it, I think, because I've gone through so many softwares.
What have been, you know, how much of a techie are you? I'm guessing that you're not getting in there and programming with them. You know, how is that? Ben, what's that been like using a new software with a new planning firm?
I mean, I have lots of great great softwares, and I am not a techie, and so I'm more concerned not how they work, but that they work. And coming from having a lot of different softwares from my old employer and then trying to equate them back over here is always a struggle, and just kind of knowing where you need to go to click, who you need to reach out to for help, just sitting through endless training webinars, making sure that you're using systems to its full ability is almost impossible with a lot of these very large systems. I also use Orion, and I would really love to be able to use Orion for its full gamut too. And I feel like I learn something new about it every single day too. You and anybody who works well with TD, I'm going to work well with. The last 2 years, just how many, new service providers have come out there, how many people are catering to younger advisors, more tech savvy advisors, smaller firms. That are just setting up to kind of be a good catch-all, because right now there's just so many softwares to dig through, and just getting kind of the right mix is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fintech arena is pretty huge and definitely bigger than the financial planning, the average financial planner's needs as well.
Yeah, it's crazy. And just like knowing, like as soon as you choose something, like something better comes out. You have to stay on top of it and go to conferences every year.
So I want you to tell me, what are some of the, why is it worth all of this, time that you're investing in your training, learning a new system, working with a fintech startup? Why has this been worth it?
Oh, I mean, it's definitely worth it. I'm all about working smarter and not harder, and being able to work wherever I am. And I go back and forth between Georgia and Oklahoma quite a bit. And so being able to be very mobile, or go to Baltimore, or go, wherever I need to be and still be able to get things done is absolutely key to me.
And how has this helped you build your business?
Well, again, it's just given me the opportunity to serve as a referral source. I mean, because even coming out of a trust environment, it's kind of easy for even to them to refer me business that they can't take, is say, we can't, but I know somebody who's doing it right in the city. Let me give her name. And that's been great too, to still have that relationship with those professional partners in the city.
Can you just give a little bit of detail on how this has allowed you to provide a greater value to your clients?
Greater value is probably a hard definition, but it is allowing me to not have to spend as much time on the individual rebalancing process, which was always a very time-consuming issue, especially if you're looking at an issue where somebody's putting in money every 2 weeks or every month. This solution really completely takes out any work from a pure operational or investment selection standpoint and puts that into exactly the model to the rebalancing purpose.
Cool. And normally I'm talking to folks about, marketing and client acquisition. This is a lot more about, working with the clients that you already have. Is this a selling point for your prospects at all, or is it just really more about your active process?
It helps in the active process, absolutely. But I mean, that funnels down. Anytime that you can take time, work off your plate, and move it to a technology solution, that's going to give you more time to spend more time prospecting. It's going to give you more time to spend time in front of clients. It's going to allow you to be able to manage more households without needing to hire an additional person or hire an outsourced solution on something like that. So overall, it's increasing the bottom line and decreasing the amount of time that you're using on some of those more operational tasks.
So do you rely on technology as, really your support network for your firm, or do you have a virtual assistant coming in for a couple of hours, or how does that part of your operations work?
No, I'm 100% me right now. I do have some analyst outsourcing with that kind of helps me with my investment decisions. But overall, I mean, between TD Ameritrade and all my other technology vendors, they're very helpful in anything that I need from an operational standpoint. But yeah, for me, it is all me, and that's for now, that's how it's going to be, I guess.
I hear that. I'm doing the same thing over here. What would you tell someone, what would you tell an advisor who is looking at Trizic or a comparable solution?
Yeah, and back to the fact of being web-based. I mean, web-based is absolutely where everything is moving, and anything that's not moving there, just dump it. It's not going to be worth your time to try to download it and always have to be uploading this from somewhere else. So web-based, absolutely. And then just utilize the tools that your custodian provides to you for free. I mean, that has been really, really helpful to me, is just making sure that I am tapping TD Ameritrade anytime that I need help with a certain integration or a certain need that I might have, tapping them first.
Absolutely. It seems like TD Ameritrade's pretty amazingly helpful with trying to make these integrations happen for planners.
Yeah, they're very open architecture, and I think they just made a deal with XY as far as being able to be a custodian for members of XY without having a minimum custodial value. So people that would just be getting started, which I think is an amazing investment in the next generation.
Yeah,
so applause absolutely. For them.
Yeah. Cheers to that. I was actually recording with Eric Roberge right before that announcement. I wanted to ask you, do you have any sort of reciprocity with Trizic? Just want to make sure to have, you know, your relationship known.
No, I don't.
Thank you.
No, I am excited for where our industry is going. I'm excited for all the young planners that are coming out of financial education programs, and I think it's a really cool time to be in this industry, and I think there's a lot of opportunity.
If you had to name one or two things for planners to keep an eye out for in the next year or so, what would it be?
That probably education of the consumer is just going to improve. Consumers can now Google you and find out everything about you immediately. They're going to be able to understand a lot better, I think, over time, of how you get paid, how anybody gets paid, and then just kind of know what they're owning. And so I think that relationship is going to change a little bit, where traditionally it's been the financial advisor has all the knowledge, and we're going to keep it back here, and you can take the scraps that we give to you. But I think that it's going to be a lot closer to a partnership in a knowledge sharing situation, which is great.
It is. I personally feel that it's a journey that we're all going on, that we're walking down this path, and that, we all use money, and that, we need our financial advisor, just like we need our mental health advisor and our medical advisors to, help us with these parts of our lives. And, and the certified financial planners are the professionals that are most capable of helping individuals do that.
Yeah, I think so. I'm biased though.
me too. Holy. Well, I want to thank you for joining me on this episode of Digital Marketing for Financial Planners.
All right. Thanks, everyone.